Good morning. I'm grateful and honored to have been asked to speak today, and I want to thank you in advance for your kind attention that I know you're going to extend to me. And with that, I'd like to have a brief word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity of life. Thank you for the opportunity that I have this morning. Help me choose my words wisely this morning, that those in the audience find something useful to apply in their life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last Sunday of 2013, so I thought it an appropriate time to look back. And since I don't know much about your past, we'll be talking about my past this morning. And my past is rooted in agriculture. I'm a farmer. My dad was a farmer. We are rice farmers. And the rice farming is centered, of course, around the harvest. And at our place, harvest is an all-in family event. Our harvest crew could consist of 8, 10. Of those 10, at least 8 will be family members. And that has provided me with some very unique and cherished memories. And the first memory I would like to share with you occurred in 2008. In 2008, Hunter, which is my son, had been assigned a position of truck driver. And his sweetheart at the time, Chelsea Ray, worked at the Eagle Lake Rice Dryer. We are delivering rice to the Eagle Lake Rice Dryer, and Hunter chooses this time to write notes to Chelsea. When I say he wrote her notes, he didn't write it on a piece of paper, or he didn't send a text message on a phone. He wrote the message on the side of his trailer with combine tape. And combine tape is like duct tape except on steroids. And Stan, if you put the first slide up here, that's the message. It's on the right side of the truck. And so when Hunter comes across the scale and Chelsea's at the window, this is what she sees. And I'll translate this for you. It says, the C at the top is, Chelsea, will you marry me? You say yes. You and I together forever. Now, I've seen marriage proposals done at sporting events. I've seen them put it on a banner with an airplane. But I believe that we are the only harvest crew ever to have a marriage proposal written on the side of a truck and proposed as he crosses the scale. And if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye and touch your romance, then you're just not as big a redneck as I am, because it tugs at my heart. And now, Chelsea did say yes, and so the next year, I immediately hired Chelsea away from the Eagle Lake Rice Dryer, and I tried my best to get Chelsea to drive tractor. And while Chelsea was a good tractor driver, Chelsea was not a happy tractor. And Chelsea sent word to me through Hunter, because she's too bashful. And the message was that she didn't want to drive a tractor anymore. She wanted to load trucks. And y'all, at harvest, loading trucks is the absolute pit job that's out there. It's the worst job. It's the hottest job. It's awful. The temperature is in excess of 100 degrees, and you're on top of the truck in the dust. And it's a thankless job. And Chelsea's not suited for this job. Chelsea is very fair-skinned. Chelsea has to put on suntan lotion to talk about sunshine. She will burn at the drop of a hat. And I said, honey, that's not going to work. She's just not suited for that. He said, Dad, that's what she wants to do. Okay. Under these conditions, she has to wear a shirt with a collar and sleeves. She has to wear a hat with a brim, not a baseball cap. And Chelsea only has one good eye, so I said, Chelsea has to wear goggles. And y'all, we took Chelsea, a drop-dead gorgeous girl, who said yes to this romantic proposal. Put her up there. There she is. And now, she looks absolutely ridiculous. But Chelsea did a magnificent job loading trucks. There was no grain spilt on the sides of the trucks. There was never any conflict between the buggy drivers and the truck loader about who's doing this, who's doing that, who's not moving when they're supposed to. One of the most important things that the truck loader does is to be sure at the end of a truck that the buggy unloads promptly so he can get on back to the field. And when Chelsea was loading trucks, we had no issues. Chelsea quietly did her job very well. Stan, you can turn that off for me, please. I want to flash forward to 2010. In 2010, Casey announced that she was bringing someone to help with harvest. And she said, he's not going to know nothing, but I think he can help. I said, well, okay. And y'all, when he showed up, he didn't even have a last name. It was, Dad, this is Jesse. Put him to work. And I did. And Jesse proved to be a very eager and hardworking young man. And I knew that he understood the value of a dollar because, y'all, Jesse already had another job. And he was just coming to help us on his days off. So I knew there was some potential in Jesse. But I also recognized very quickly that Jesse had some long-term ambitions for him and Casey. And I recognized this, and I did my job. And my job in that situation is to run Jesse off. And I'm good at my job. So I found every nasty, no-good job that you could have. And whenever that came up, I said, Jesse, come here, I need you to do this. His response was always the same. Yes, sir, I'll get right on that. And I would give him jobs that he didn't know how to do, and I didn't give him any instructions. I would give him the job and then walk off and watch and just laugh as he struggled. But to my amazement, no matter what job you gave Jesse, he always found a way to get it done. And he never complained. And I knew there were some benefits to putting him through that because I don't know what it's going to take to survive life with Casey from here forward. But I knew what the first 22 years took. And this was not a job for the faint at heart, right? It was going to take some special characteristics to survive life with Casey. I knew he had to have courage. So when it came time, we were going to work some cows. We gather our cattle on horseback. And I said, Jesse, can you ride a horse? Now, Jesse had never ridden a horse in his life, much less a cat. But Jesse put his game face on, looked me square in the eyes, just like a U.S. Marine soldier, looked at me and said, yes, sir! Now, what Jesse didn't know was the horse I had picked out for him to ride was the most worthless piece of horse flesh that I have ever owned in my life. Alright? I've always told you there's something about the outside of a horse that's good for the inside of a man. There was nothing good about the outside of this horse. It just wasn't going to happen. Hunter knew what I was doing. And he called me aside. He said, Dad, you sure about this? And I copied a phrase. It was a little cowboy around Barwood for years, big, rough man. He was a black man, he was about that broad. And one of his practices on his horses, when they got to where he thought they were ready for something, he would go rope a cow or a bull or something way big, and then step off, leave the horse and the animal tied together with a rope, and he'd say, you be all right, figure it out. And so when Hunter was concerned, I said, don't worry about Jesse. He'll be all right. Probably he'll figure it out. And to my amazement, Jesse did figure it out. The horse probably had the best day working cow that he ever had. And Jesse, again, never complained. This past year, Jesse and Casey were married. And it was my honor to propose a toast to Jesse. And at that toast, I toasted him as a man who never complained. As the wedding approached, I had a dream. I can have a dream. And in my dream, Jesse was the star. But also in my dream, I shot him. And when I say I shot him, I didn't shoot him with a 22 or a little, pellet gun pistol. I shot him with my deer rifle. My deer rifle is a 7 mag. It will kill a moose. All right? And I didn't shoot Jesse in the hand or in the foot. Jesse doesn't know where I shot him in the dream. And I'm not going to tell you. But I shot Jesse. But even in my dream, even after I shot Jesse, not one complaint from Jesse. Not even about being shot. I knew then that perhaps Jesse had a chance. I'd like to move to 2012. 2012 was a challenging year for us at Harvest. It was our first year without Mother. And so things were kind of tough. And everyone was trying to fill her shoes. There were a lot of shoes to be filled. Casey had been our number two cart driver for several years behind Mother. Mother was now gone. Casey was now number one. And Casey was doing her best to fulfill all the duties that went along with that, including keeping track of all the trucks, what time they left, who was the driver, what time they got back, all these different things, and trying to perform her number one duty, which was to get to the truck and back to the combine so that the combine never has to wait. Never has to wait. Now that does pretty good until we get in a field where it lets us unload on the go. Stan, can you give me that next slide? And what you see in this slide is a problem. And the problem is, we run two combines and two buggies. All right? You see that the first buggy has not left the truck, and the second buggy is already at the truck. And that means that the guy who took the picture is probably sitting and waiting on the tractor to get back. This is not supposed to happen. But that's what happens sometimes when we get things really rolling, the yields are good. And so it was in 2012 that we were at a field and it was laid out something like this. The Black Marcher ladies, up here at this top right-hand corner, is our loadout. Here's where the buggies go to unload. I'm in a combine. I'm probably coming along somewhere about right in here somewhere. Casey's just left the truck, and she knows that my hopper is already way too full. She needs to get there and get there quick. Now, when we're harvesting the field, our headers are running about 18 inches off the ground. The levees in this field are conventional levees. They're about 18 inches tall. So the levees are absolutely hidden from anyone driving a tractor. You can't see them from the tractor seat. Casey leaves the truck. She thinks she just crossed this levee here. In reality, she had just crossed this levee here. Notice that she's at 90 degrees to the levee, which is not a good plan. But Casey thinks she's in the wide open country. She needs to make time. I see the black smoke ball. I know she's shifting gears. I would guess the last time I saw her moving, she was in about 13. Okay? Going straight at the levee. And I thought to myself as I saw it, I said, man, I sure hope she knows where she's at, because if she doesn't, that could be bad. I look across my header, I look back across my header, I look up to check Casey, and all I see is a big white cloud, and it ain't moving. You can't even see the tractor, okay? It's engulfed in a cloud of dust. And Casey's in charge of our communication, so we got these little talkabouts. See, even though I know what's happened, I pick up the talkabout, and I say, Casey, in my radio voice, this is your dad speaking. What happened? This crackly voice comes back over the radio.
I don't know.
Sensing the distress in her voice, I ask her another question. I say, Casey, "Are you okay?" This crackling voice comes over the airwaves. "I don't know." So I did what I had to do. I turned, stopped my combine, turned around, traveled up there, and inspect the situation. And I noticed immediately that the tractor's on one side of the levee, the auger cart is still on the other side of the levee. There is a distance between the levee and the tractor about that far, and y'all, the stubble ain't matched. The tires have not touched the ground. Casey has just completed her first solo flight in a John Deere tractor. Alright? Now I see this and I know this could be bad. And it could be bad because she could be hurt. And it could be bad because I had spent a lot of money with Dr. Jeb James in Bay City. Y'all know Dr. James. Me and Dr. James had partnered up. We partnered to give Casey the perfect smile. He provided a lot of dental work, and I provided lots and lots of money. And I was concerned that she had knocked her teeth out. Much to my relief, she had not knocked any teeth out. She was still basically intact with all pieces attached and facing the direction that they should, which was good because at this point, Jesse had moved from "run him off" to "don't mess this up." You know? We didn't want anything happening to Casey that could run him off. After examining the whole situation, I see that the tractor is amazingly intact except for the armrest, which was broken off, not cracked. This tractor had been over thousands and thousands of acres, and Casey had broken the armrest off, which I don't know how you do that. But anyway, the tractor was pretty much okay. The situation's going to be all right. And I knew that now was the time for me to share with Casey some of my fatherly wisdom about the events that had just taken place. So I walk over to the tractor, and I put my foot up on the step, and I open the door. And y'all don't get up and leave me. This is what really happened. I said, "Casey, you've been driving tractor way too long to do something that stupid. Now dry your eyes, quit feeling sorry for yourself, and let's go back to work." Bam! Slammed the door, turned around, got back on my combine, and drove away. Now, that's probably not Father of the Year material. And if you look at our memory, our verse that was read just a few moments ago, it talked about children obeying their parents, but fathers don't. I forget just exactly how his version said it, but I really like it. Don't be bad to your kids. Don't anger your children. Don't be too hard on them lest they decide to quit trying. Perhaps that more closely describes my position at that moment. But it's not really as bad as it sounds, and I'll tell you two reasons. First of all, I'm embarrassed to say that I have delivered worse. You can ask her brother. I think he was 11? No, I think 10. Well, it doesn't matter. He was old enough to know better. Just like Casey was old enough to know better. And he got a very similar delivery of a very tough message. And not exactly the way I think. The other reason that it's not as bad as it sounds is just like when I shot Jesse. I didn't tell y'all this a while ago, but when I shot him, I felt really bad about it. And after I calmed down a little bit, I felt really bad about the way I treated Casey and the way I had treated Hunter in the past. But the important thing is not what I did. The important thing in that situation is what Casey chose to do. And you understand that Casey was hurting physically. She was hurting emotionally. She had made a mistake. She knew the mistake could have cost us a lot of time and a lot of money. And she had just gotten blistered by her dad pretty good. But the scripture said, children, obey your parents. And I gave her three things to do. I told her, Casey, dry your eyes. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and go back to work. Now Casey dried her eyes. And Casey went back to work. And to borrow a phrase from our dear friend Cy of Duck Dynasty, hey, two out of three ain't bad. But Casey chose to continue not because of the Father of the Year speech that I delivered, but rather in spite of it. And that's a pretty good pattern to follow. As we look forward into 2014, Stan, if you can put up the next slide, please. That's a yield monitor. I don't know if you can see that or not, but up in the upper left-hand corner, it says wet yield, and there's a number, and the number is 120. And I'll let AJ be calculating back there right now, but that's in 100 weights per acre. And that means that at that point, at that spot in the field, the yield was 120 100 weights per acre. And you may not be a rice farmer, but that's good. That's real good. If you change that to barrels, Dale, that's almost 75 green barrels per acre. Now, the whole field, of course, did not yield that. But what I wish for you in 2014, that your yield monitor in life is running like that. I hope things are a bounty for you. I hope they're bountiful for me. I hope I see a whole lot more 120s on my yield monitor. But the truth is, next slide, excuse me. No matter how good you plan, sometimes the unexpected and unplanned comes along. And this is harvest also, but this is harvest not going so well. That combine is stuck. Bad. It took three tractors and an excavator to tow that thing out of it. But sometimes in life, sometimes it's next year. Life is not always good to you. And there may be times where you're stuck. Stuck in a rut or just bogging down. Okay? And sometimes, next slide, Stan, excuse me. Sometimes life might even turn you upside down. Okay? Bottom side upwards. What I want to tell you about this slide is I know the man that was flying this airplane, and when they got to him, okay, his life had been turned upside down, and he said, you know, they asked him, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm okay, but I got to have another airplane and some more fertilizer. just went right back on to work and got on about his day. Thank you, Stan. In 2014, myself, I want to be more like Chelsea. I want to quietly do things very well. I want to be like Jesse and decide never to complain. I want to be like Hunter. I want to be more romantic with my wife and more compassionate about those around me. And yes, I want to be like Casey. Except I don't want any crash landings. And I want to avoid giving or receiving any Father of the Year speeches. I'd like to close with Colossians 3 and verse 17. And think about this, that no matter what happens to you, it's not so much what happened to you, but what you decide to do next. And your decision should be based not solely on what's happened to you, but on a little bit higher standard about producing the kind of results that you want. So in Colossians 3 and 17, just prior to the verse that was read this morning, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God. And with that, if we can serve anyone this morning, you come on forward.